His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. All of us do this. I mean, almost reflexively, we think this way, and that's what superstition is. It's a way of thinking about ourselves, about the world around us. One might even say that virtually every religion, with the exception of Christianity, is essentially superstition. What is it? Magical thinking? We're born with it. Children are naturally superstitious about the world around them, about their place in it. So is it harmless or is it harmful? Joining us to talk about superstition, Pastor James Lestico. He's pastor of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Evansville, Illinois, and St. John's Lutheran Church in Ruma, Illinois. He's author of an article in Higher Things magazine. And I can't even pronounce the title. You're going to have to do it for me, Pastor Lestico, if even you can. What is the title of this article?
Triskaidekaphobia. And actually, after looking at the article, I realized I never defined it in the article itself. But triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13. Being born on the 13th, I heard it, and it just stuck in my head. And actually, to write this article, I had to look it up in the dictionary how to spell it.
Is practicing little superstitions like this, is it harmless?
No. I think you pretty much hit it when you introduced it, saying, you know, you can call every false religion a superstitious one. And to be a Christian, well, it gets to where are we looking in our lives? Where are we? What are we trusting in to bring us good? And when bad comes, what are we looking to? What are we afraid of?
So in terms of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, what is superstition a violation of? Which commandment?
Well, certainly the first commandment. Luther explains that we are to have no other gods. It's not just the generic crass worship of false idols, but he explains that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so when we start getting afraid of doing this wrong or that wrong, you know, whether, oh no, a black cat had just crossed my path, or I walked under a ladder, or I broke a mirror, when we start getting afraid of that and not trusting in the Lord, or we pick up a lucky rabbit's foot, which years ago one of my friends pointed out, well, that rabbit's foot wasn't very lucky for that rabbit, was it? We get into some troubles there. And also, then after, some good comes into our life, and if we think that, well, it's because I've been lucky, then the thankfulness towards God dies. God, who, as James 1 points out, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. But if we're crediting luck, then we don't give the glory to the Lord. I would just stop there, except for Professor Stephen Mueller, who you've had on the show. He, in one of my classes at Irvine, pointed out, well, what about the superstitious use of the sign of the cross when we were talking about the second commandment? And we see that sometimes on TV when we're watching sports, some baseball players make the sign of the cross, and as we're watching it, we can't necessarily tell whether they're doing it superstitiously. They might be, or they might not be. They might be doing a very godly thing in giving credit to God for giving them the talent and the ability and the health to have a good at-bat.
So, can we even avoid it, Pastor? Because it seems to be hardwired into us. If we are conscious enough to kind of put away all of the common superstitions, like the 13 and the various other things that you've mentioned, the ones that are so common to us, that if we look at them are just downright silly. We still think in those kind of magical terms. We still think that if I do this or if I don't do this, that's somehow going to determine the outcome of this day or of my life or of its events, irrespective of God's place in all of that.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know what more I could add to what you just said. We are hardwired that sin, you know, and that's really what we're after, I think, with superstitions is the power to do life without God, the power to control events instead of trusting Him to see us through and calling upon Him when things are bad. We know life isn't the way it should be, and we're looking for any way around giving the glory to God and thanksgiving to Him. We're looking for, you know, the end of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Luther writes in the explanation there that for all this, it is our duty to give Him thanks and pray and serve and obey, and we're looking for reasons why we don't have to. And that's sin hardwired into us, as you mentioned.
John in Grand Junction, Colorado, is on the line. John, thank you for waiting.
Thank you. My question is, you know, everyone can say, well, you know what, black cats, they don't believe that. But what about people, like, you with the superstition that's been infused, like, in Christianity, like, from the Gnosis, you know, with the idea of a secret knowledge, and maybe also its play in New Age, because it seems that people may not fall for the black cat anymore, but what about superstition when it comes to the idea of New Age powers and even certain thing, Gnostic elements that have entered into the church?
Good question, John. Thanks for listening in Colorado.
Yeah, Pastor. Great question. In fact, my wife and I are big fans of The Amazing Race, and a couple of weeks back there was this task that they had to do to build an altar, a little floating platform with some incense burning, and it was set off into the sea and floated there. And it was specifically said that this is a Hindu custom to bring good luck. And the competitors just did it without even questioning it. You know, it was just a part of the game, and it really didn't seem to matter much. Again, as I mentioned, the rabbit's foot didn't seem to bring good luck to the team that lost that week. There's the blatant superstitions or the silly ones like the black cat, but looking for that secret knowledge. I don't know, maybe Todd, if you have more, you can respond to that question.
Well, I just, you know, it was just a couple of years ago that Oprah Winfrey was pushing this book called The Secret. And if you read it, it was just essentially a very grand scheme of superstition. If you think positively about your life and write things down and make sure you really concentrate on it, it taught there's a law of attraction in the universe, and you will attract the things to you that you want. And it made grand promises. Is that too just nothing but this kind of superstition?
I think it's a little bit different, but maybe not. I mean, you know, you're trying to, as far as four-leaf clovers or rabbit's foot, you're thinking, well, I have possession of this, and this object, I'm thinking that it's going to bring good things to my life. So it might be, instead of having an object with you, doing it without the object, even more efficient, more efficiently sinning.
What about this little scenario? Someone says, look, I'm not superstitious. I know that God controls everything, but God's watching what I do. And I'm kind of afraid of making the wrong move because if I do, I'm pretty sure He's going to try and teach me a lesson. And the course of my life will be directed pretty much by whether or not I can make the right moves before God so that I can avoid those times when He has to teach me a lesson by sending bad things into my life. What does that sound like to you?
Sounds like a person is very much living under the law and recognizing that very real, very bad things do come along in our lives as we bring them into it. In Bible study this morning, we were talking about David's sin with Bathsheba Yeah, we should learn from David's lesson to avoid such things as adultery and so on. But as I mentioned in the article, the Bible doesn't talk, it doesn't, as far as I could ever find, doesn't use the words luck, good luck, or bad luck, or otherwise. Didn't find, I mean, there's instances of superstitious use of holy things, but what the Bible does talk about is curses and blessings. And, boy, so many blessings it lists off on our behalf that people that make the wrong move all over the place. I mentioned David and Bathsheba, and Nathan comes to David and says, the Lord has put away your sin. Yes, there will be consequences, but the Lord has put away your sin. Or Adam and Eve in hiding in the garden, and God comes to them and announces that what they're afraid of, the Lord wiping them out, that's not what he's there for. He's there to announce the blessing that forgiveness is coming in the son of Eve, who's going to destroy the work the devil's just done. Or as Pastor Peterson mentioned just recently here in the last half hour, Jesus appearing to the disciples, and his first words to disciples that are very afraid of how, you know, afraid of what the Jews could do to them.
About 10 seconds here.
Okay. Jesus says to them, peace be with you. And that's the Lord that we have, a Lord who brings his peace, his blessings to us in Christ who died for us.
Pastor James Lestico is pastor of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Evansville, Illinois, and St. John's Lutheran Church in Ruma, Illinois. He's author of an article in Higher Things magazine titled Triskaidekaphobia. I think that's how it's pronounced. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Great pleasure.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us to talk about the battle over gay divorce in Texas. Stay tuned.
Writings on the wall.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.